You're listening to Trek FM.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey.
To the journey!
I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
Charlene, some of our fans, our listeners, our devotees, our loved ones, will probably be very scared because they're listening to this on the wrong day. We are releasing this on a different day than normal. We normally come out on Thursdays, and we do it promptly Thursday morning.
Very promptly, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, sharp.
Sharp. Always on the dot, on the second. But this episode is releasing on Friday. Now, there has been times in the past where we're like, oh, crap, life got in the way, we're releasing late.
Yeah.
But we wanted to let you know from the TTJ crew that this scheduling change might become a little bit more permanent this summer.
Yeah, not permanent as in forever, but for the foreseeable future, this is more likely going to be the case than not. And it's for the same reason as why we did not have a TTJ last week, and we're sorry that we deprived you, but life got in the way. I started a new job, and also I have even more going on in my life. We have to move out of my place into another one. Yes, I'm moving again, people. How many times have I said that on this show throughout the years? I get to do it all over again. I can't go a year without moving, I guess. I was really hoping this time we could stay for a little while, but the person who owns our townhome is selling it after our lease, and so we got to be somewhere else, and so off we go, and actually we found a really nice place, so I'm not sad. It's just we have to do all the work of moving again.
I know it's so hard because like I feel you. I mean like I have a lot going on right now too, like everybody does.
You do.
Like,
you know. Yeah, and life is crazy for everybody. But yeah, you do have a lot of things going on. And by the way, I want to say a happy birthday to you because we are recording this today after your birthday.
That's right. Yes, it was yesterday, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was so long ago.
We talked a lot about like kind of my birthday weekend and what we were going to do for my birthday on Nerd Nuptial, which everyone should check out at thenerdparty.com.
It was totally awesome, by the way. I saw the photos of Medieval Times. It looks like you had a lot of fun.
Yes, I went to Medieval Times with a girl and it was so much fun. I mean, it's just we said it as a joke, like when like, you know, the girl sat me down and said, hey, you know, what do you want to do for your birthday? I kind of, you know, mockingly sneered and said, like, Medieval Times. And she laughed. But then we looked at each other like, oh, my God, we're totally going to do that. And then we immediately bought tickets online.
I knew you were going to do that for sure. Like once it came out of your mouth, whether you were halfway joking or not, I knew you were doing it. Yeah,
it's true. You knew. And
totally.
Yeah. But we've been looking to buy a house. I got potentially good stuff going on at work right now. I got lots of personal stuff. None of it bad. All good stuff. But
just
it's
stuff.
Just, it is so crazy. Like, we at Trek FM, and I hope you guys respect this or understand it in the least, is that none of us live together. You know, like barely.
There's not a giant Trek FM house somewhere.
Yeah.
On Earth. No, we are all over the place. I think our listeners do know that because they know Colin's over in the UK. Chris is out in Japan. If only we had transporters, though. How many times have we had to say this?
Well, even then, though, even if we had transporters, we would still have to worry about time zones. We are in dozen time zones across Trek FM.
It's true. It's a pain.
And with you starting this new job, you have a crazy schedule that I still don't understand. You've told it to me like 15 times, and I still don't quite get it.
Hey, frankly, I'm still getting in the swing of it myself, and my days off are, well, they're a little unpredictable. Sometimes it's going to be in the middle of the week, like it is this week. I get Wednesday and Thursday off. Other times, I might get Sunday, Monday off. It's going to vary completely, and so... that's just the way it's going to be for the foreseeable future. That's just the way this job is going to work.
Yeah, sorry guys, that's just how it is. And like, we'll try to get it to you on Thursdays, but it more often than not might come out on Fridays.
Yes. Well, you know what? If we get our you know what together, maybe we can record a couple in advance so that we have a couple ready to go, and then we can get on a more regular releasing schedule. But in the meantime, while we're still just going week by week, this is just the way it's got to be.
And what we're talking about this week is our top five Tom Paris episodes we would want to marathon.
Yes, we are bringing back the character marathons. Now, we did this a long time ago with Captain Janeway, tens and tens of episodes ago. And I thought, you know what, man, we really need to bring that back. And so then we just mutually agreed, let's go for Tom Paris. There's a lot of good Tom Paris episodes. And so here we are.
Yes, I'm excited about this one because this is not our favorite Tom Paris episodes. This is not what we think are the best Tom Paris episodes. These are episodes that are focused on Tom Paris or have some amazing Tom Paris moments that we think would be great in a lazy Sunday afternoon.
Right, a five-episode marathon. And the sequence here is the key. Which episodes are you going to put where? And then, of course, which episodes are they?
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's hard not to go temporal, with it. I think Tom has such... Well, yeah, I think so, because Tom has such a great progression that, it's hard not to go in order of your marathon, from earliest to latest.
I totally disagree. My list is completely out of order, and I have no problem with that. I mean, I get it. Normally, I am on your side as far as that methodology goes. Chronological seems to make the most sense, but here, nope, throwing that out the window, big time.
Well, I don't think mine is not perfect chronological whatsoever. I was just saying it was difficult for me to move away from that.
You know what's funny is these easy topics, well, they seem easy, right? But when you actually get down to putting the list together, it's a lot harder than it looks. There's a lot more nuance. There's a lot of little details and a lot of things also that you miss. And then sometimes you make a point that I think, oh my God, why didn't I think about that? And then like during the show, sometimes my list will even change right on the air.
It's true. I mean, I don't think a lot of listeners know that we have backups that we keep just in case. And so we'll edit our list on the fly.
Oh, totally.
And I don't know if we should let them know that, but it's,
I think it's okay. You know what? Our listeners know we're big on improvisation. We make up episodes on the spot. It should make perfect sense that we improvise lists as we go to. We are the Whose Line Is It Anyway of Trek FM.
I like that. I'm going to keep that. Yeah,
cool.
I like that.
All right.
I think we're going to keep that. All right, so how about we talk some Voyager, and more specifically, some Tom Paris. And so how about you go first, since I'm hosting this one?
Sounds good.
What is your first episode to begin? Like, you just got home from a walk. You just got home from lunch on Sunday, and it's fall. It's fall. It's October, okay?
Wow.
And
very specific.
You made yourself some coffee. And you're wrapped up in your Star Trek Voyager fleece blanket that you made yourself. And you're about sit down and you have the remote and you're like, bam, okay, I'm on Netflix. I can watch any episode I want. I'm going to have a Tom Paris marathon. What's the first one you start with?
First one I'm going for, I think, is possibly one of the most profound Tom Paris episodes. And that is 30 Days.
That is on my list as well.
I figured it might be. I mean, this is a very quintessential Tom Paris episode. It's very important. It's a very serious episode. We really get down to Tom Paris's daddy issues, just as many of the crew have their daddy issues. He certainly has his. But we get just a really good kind of depth in terms of that. I mean, we've known this for a long time, but we get into the psychology more of how Tom feels regarding his dad and how really he just wants to do right by him. He wants his dad to feel good about who his son is and feel proud of him. And I think the fact that he's dealing with the fact that he's the son of an admiral, that affects him so profoundly. Some people can rise up to that pressure and excel. Other people crumble. Tom crumbled. He had a low period, but he has rebounded tons on Voyager, and his dad doesn't even know at this point. Can you imagine? how that would feel if you were Tom Paris. And then also, of course, this is a little bit of a, this is a Tom doing his own, I don't know, environmentalist activism.
Yeah, this episode was always kind of an enigma to me. Like, I debated whether or not to put it on my list, not because it's not about Tom or it's not a good episode, because I do think it's a good episode and I like that it's about Tom, but it's so far out of left field for me. Like, this was Chakotay's boxing episode done right.
I kind of like that. Yeah, where, you know, all of a sudden this thing comes up and you can roll with it, but there really should have been some inkling here that, you know what, maybe there was, simply for the fact that Tom Paris has broken the rules before. He's doing it very intentionally this time, but for a reason. A good reason.
Oh, well, no, that I get. Like, that I completely understand. What I'm talking about is, like, when I say Chakotay's boxing episode, I mean, like, oh, Chakotay's into boxing? This is the first we've ever heard of it. And yeah, with this one, it's like, oh, you know, Tom is in love with the sea. He's always been the fly boy that we know and love.
Right, that's, yeah, and he was going to be about basically in the Navy.
Something like that. Like, something, I think, like Coast Guard. That. I think.
Something like that, yes.
Yes, yeah, San Francisco Coast Guard or something.
Yeah. So, like, oh, okay, yeah. So being a pilot wasn't his first love. Okay, yeah, I get you there. That is a little bit of a shocker.
Yeah, that's, it's dropped out of nowhere. There's no preamble. They don't hint to it beforehand. But this, then again, actually, I was just talking about this with my wife about serialized television versus episodic television. This is a clear distinction of episodic television at its finest, where it's just like, even though you're taking a character and you're progressing him off of previous storylines, it is still 100% episodic because you're introducing new material all over the place, even for that character.
Right. And you can just watch this episode and understand it, follow it. You never have to watch another episode of Voyager again, but you'd get something out of this.
Yeah.
Oh, great episode of Nerd Nuttual, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. It was, I find that stuff fascinating, and not to, you know, drop a line or plug it too much. I really enjoyed talking about episodic versus serialized television. That kind of turned into a streaming conversation. And I just think it's so apt to what's going on in the Star Trek fandom right now, because, you know, we're getting our serialized Star Trek show that will only be available via streaming. I mean, that's right. Insane. That's never happened before.
Right. Yeah, we're in 2016. This is the way of the world now.
So if you guys are interested at all in hearing that conversation from me and the girl, go to thenerdparty.com, click on Nerd Nuptial, and from there you'll see the latest episode. It's called Serial, not Serial. All right. Okay, so I guess it's my turn, huh?
It is. What is your, how are you going to kick off your marathon?
Okay, I'm bundled up. I got my coffee, and I got my feet up. I got my socks on. I would start with Caretaker. I know it sounds weird.
Nope, I considered it. It's on my honorable mentions. I really thought really hard about this.
This one is just, even though this is not focused on Tom Paris, I love how much he's featured. I mean, we see him in prison, literally.
Yeah.
And we see him given a field commission.
Right.
We learn about his backstory from his own lips. We see what kind of character, like, he's sly, can think on his feet, you know, doesn't suffer any fools, like with Quark and everything like that. He's a good friend to Harry.
Yeah, forges that friendship right off the
bat. Yeah, he forges that great friendship that we all know and love in the first episode. And he loves giving Chakotay the business. And it's just, yeah, I think it's a great introduction to the character. And even though I don't think it's necessary to start off every character marathon with the introduction of the character, I think this is a good place for Tom.
I thought so hard about putting this one in here, and the only reason why I didn't was just because we're introducing just about everybody in Caretaker, and I thought, well, maybe that's not fair. And I opted for the side of not, and therefore I'm glad that you opted for the side of yes.
All right, well, what's your next one? You just finished 30 Days, and you're moving on.
Yeah, we're going to stay a little bit on the serious side. My arc goes from serious to the more lighthearted elements of things, just to kind of foreshadow that. We're going to go with Prophecy, because we have to have some Tom and B'Elanna in here. And nice. Actually, no, this one isn't serious. I was initially thinking Lineage, which I also had, but I thought one Tom and B'Elanna episode, one really good one. I put in Prophecy because Tom fights for B'Elanna. And I love that so much. It's great to watch that.
Does he actually, does he actually fight? Does he actually like swing his Bat'leth? Or don't they stop before anything actually happens?
Well, I think he kind of gets bailed out, but the point is he's willing to do it.
Yeah, no, you're right. I wasn't trying to dog on it. Like it was like it's cool to see him in the outfit. It's cool to see him with a Bat'leth in his hand, and he's going to defend his wife's honor, you know, and everything like
right,
that.
That is
a very cool moment.
He's got a lot of help, let's put it that way, but he's out there and he's doing it, which takes a substantial amount of guts when you're just this weakling human against a big brawny Klingon.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I put that in there just because, for one thing, it's a fun episode. I mean, Klingons in the Delta Quadrant, who would have thought? Great way to put that in there, by the way. But then just for that scene alone, the fact that Tom would do that for B'Elanna, it's such a great scene. And so I thought, okay, yeah, I'm going to go with that.
I think that's a great choice because now that you said it, I mean, even though it's one of my favorite relationships on the ship, and I love B'Elanna. She's my favorite character. I don't have any B'Elanna Paris episodes on my list.
I think I have a theory on why. Because I went through this too, where they have really good moments that don't necessarily happen on episodes that are centric to their characters. You know what I mean? Where they're in the B plot.
You know, I think you're right because I was thinking about that with Alice. Alice is a Tom Paris episode that deals a lot with their relationship.
Yes.
But I don't really think it's a good episode.
Right. It's not on my list either, just for the record. No, if I'm making a marathon, I'm going to watch what I want. Right. As you're going to find out.
I think that's solid.
So there we go. Okay. Well, what is your second pick then on your marathon?
My second pick is Parturition. Season 2, episode 7. It's described as a trip to planet hell proves therapeutic for Tom Paris and Neelix. It's the spaghetti fight episode, if you don't remember it.
Which, in my opinion, not to poo-poo on the episode too bad, but I feel like that's the one really big redeeming factor in this whole episode is the spaghetti fight. I watch it for that, and I watch it for Janeway's attitude. She's got some serious attitude in this episode. Like, she's just in a really pissy mood. She's not putting up with anybody's crap that day. And you have to notice the hair. No bun of steel. This one time in season 2, we don't know why.
This one time, that's right.
Yeah.
I think I know that I like this episode more than you.
I love
the idea of Tom and Neelix trapped. I love the idea of a mother-child relationship that's so foreign to us that we have to go to our animal kingdom to understand it. And I love that there's a spaghetti fight. I think it's just absolutely absurd. And I love that they hash this out, where this has been building for a season and a half of, you know, like Kes's feelings towards Neelix and Tom's feelings towards Kes. And it's just this, like the green-eyed monster needed to be unleashed and then killed. And this is the episode that happened. And I'm so grateful for that because I was getting so tired of it. But I think it's so cathartic. I think that's the reason why I really like this episode, is that it's really cathartic for all three characters.
I have to agree with you totally there. It should have happened about a half season earlier. That would have been nice to make that arc of the jealousy, the will they or won't they, what's going to happen, shake up, have it resolved. But I do appreciate the fact that, yes, they address it and they deal with the problem. It just doesn't go away.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think that's why it's on my list.
Yeah, and then from there, that's when Tom and Neelix finally can bury the hatchet, and they kind of develop a nice friendship, which is nice.
That's true. Like, that's the thing, is that, like, you don't really see them, you know, on each other's nerves for the rest of the show.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, they annoy each other here and there, but it's nothing intense. Like, they're not actually frustrated with each other or angry with each other. It's
no.
just like, oh, Neelix won't make me a pizza. Come on. You know, like stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. No, Neelix is far too busy annoying Tuvok anyway.
Yeah, that doesn't go away.
No, it does not. All right. Well, my next pick then, I'm going to stick with the lighter side of things for the rest of this marathon because I love a good time. I like comedy. I like to laugh and I like good moments. And even though Tom is not maybe the featured character in this episode, he's certainly a big part of it. And that is Future's End Part 1. That's right. I'm taking Part 1 of a two-part episode. And no, I'm not going to follow it up with Future's End Part 2. So suck it.
Yeah, this is our marathon, folks, not what yep. a marathon we'd recommend to others.
Deal
like,
with
we've
it.
Seen Future's End Part 2. This is on my list as well.
Nice. Well, yeah, I mean, come on. It's fantastic. This is where Tom exercises his fondness for the 20th century. Not only does he get to call a lab groovy and call Tom a freakosaurus, but he also gets to drive a truck, which we know he totally knows how to operate because he started one in the 37s. And,
that's right.
Yeah, took it for a little test drive. Didn't return it, though. And, you know, he gets to have discussions about the UV exposure rates with Tuvok, whom he accuses of being a hypochondriac. I mean, there's a lot of good Tom Paris moments here. So, yeah, his interaction with Rainn Robinson, I feel, is very mm-hmm. good. Those two definitely have some chemistry. And, of course, you're going to hear me saying this a lot. It's a fun episode. I enjoy it. It's one of my favorites. It's a go-to.
I don't really have anything more to add, really. I mean, like, you bottled it perfectly. It's a fun episode. It has great Tom moments. Even though it's not about Tom and his character, he has a lot to do, and mm-hmm. he interacts with a lot of different people, and it's, yeah, I think this is the moment. Like, Future's End is the episode where I realized that Robert Duncan McNeil has a very, like, this is the only thing I think he does poorly, is that he screams horribly. When he, like, I can't even reproduce it. I'm gonna try, but he's just like,
okay.
Get down!
Hey, that was pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah, like, he'll, every single time he screams, he sounds like that, and he'll say something like, get down, or like, watch out! You know, like, just... It's like that. It's the same tone.
Once. Just once in yeah. every episode, somehow. Could you please integrate that? Because you do a much better impression than you think you do, and it's hilarious. It's great.
It's like, okay, this is the 175th episode of TTJ. There was how many episodes of Voyager? 172.
72. Yeah.
Yeah. When you watch that many Voyager episodes over and over and over and over and over and over again, and you do a podcast that's dedicated to those episodes, and you do more podcast episodes than there are actual episodes of the show, it starts to get into your bloodstream. Like, it's there to stay.
You can't help it. It just happens through osmosis. Yes, it's true. It's so true. And yet my Janeway impression has marginally improved over the years. Only marginally. I'm not a voice actor.
I think your impression has evolved to not so much include Janeway, but just it's now your impression. Like, it's not Janeway, it's Char's impression of Janeway.
So it's sort of like when William Shatner sings then. He's not really singing, he's just doing it William Shatner style, and you're gonna like it.
I enjoy it. I mean, like, if I ever actually heard, like I think that goes for me too. Like, there is tons of impressions that I do of the cast where it's not so much like, oh, that's a spot on impression. It's just like, oh, Tristan, like, that's what you think the character sounds like.
Nah, you make me laugh every time because there's always an inkling of something good there, no matter mm. whether you think you fail or not. You have it far more down than you realize.
Well, your time's up is 1,000 times better than any of my Janeway impersonations.
Okay,
so.
Well, it's like the one thing that I can do. The one thing. So maybe I'll stick with that. All right. Okay, but let's get back on track here. We have a
yes.
list to get through. You're on your third pick, yes?
I'm on my third pick, and I don't know if this is on your list. I'd be surprised if it's not, but that's Bride of Chaotica.
Well, that's my next one. So let's talk about
okay. it. Okay. Let's talk about it. Okay, so this, I almost didn't put this one on there because if you think about it, this isn't really a Tom episode.
Right. It's not, at least not completely, and yet he's got some very important things he contributes to this episode. Maybe
yes.
first and foremost, Captain Proton. It's his program.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing, is that it's his program. And so we just link Captain Proton and Bride of Chaotica with him so much that no matter what happens, like no matter what the episode is about,
it's his baby.
It's his baby, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's his program. He gets to play the hero. He has to explain to Janeway that it's Chaotica's army of evil that they're going after. And he gets a lot of the great one-liners in this episode. There's also that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know, in that sense, yes, it is very Tom-centric. It's his world that we're delving into.
Yes, that is a good point. It is Tom's world. It's like we're stepping into Tom's mind by going into Bride of Chaotica.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
Yeah, we're just playing in it.
No Tom Paris marathon would be complete without him saying, yes, his army of evil.
That's right. Such a good line. I'll never, ever get tired of it. Yeah, so good. And again, another fun episode. Completely enjoyable. I think I know one person on the whole planet who doesn't appreciate this episode the way I appreciate it. I know. One person says that it's not as great as people say it is, and, well, they're wrong.
We should flog them publicly. Who is it?
It's somebody I know on Tumblr. I'll have to hunt them down, and we will flog them hard.
Okay, as long as they're not a part of the Trek FM network, because that might be grounds for expulsion.
No, you know what I think it was? I think it was, you know, people do like the postcards for Voyager. They send in their real thoughts.
Oh, yeah. It's like confessions. Confessions of Voyager. Yeah. It's a black bar with white text on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw it on one of those.
Yes.
So that person's going to get flogged. Watch out.
So, okay. So is Bride of Chaotica your third or fourth pick?
It's my fourth pick. So we are back to you with your fourth pick.
Future's End. And 30 Days were on my list.
Okay.
So we've already talked about those. So I'm going to take off Future's End.
Okay.
And I'm going to leave 30 Days on there. So far I have Caretaker, Parturition, Bride of Chaotica, and then 30 Days. And so we're already on to my last one.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Do you want me to reveal my last one or do you just want to go with yours?
No. We'll go with mine. I mean, we'll go with mine and then we'll get to you.
All right.
So this one is... I think this is, again, it's my marathon. I can do whatever the hell I want.
Totally. What are you going to do? How are you going to cap this baby off?
You start with a great, you know, introduction to the character in Caretaker. You progress the character in Parturition. And you see some of his silly side in Bride of Chaotica. And then in 30 Days, you see that character come full circle where he continues to screw up, but he did it for the right reason. And then I'm going to top it off all with nonsense, because why not? And that's Threshold.
I don't believe it! I did the same thing!
No, you did not!
Yes, I did! I'm capping it off with Threshold because I figure, you know what? Maybe right before Future's End, or maybe between Future's End and Bride of Chaotica and my marathon, I'm going to get me a little vodka-flavored vodka drink. And that's going to prepare me for Threshold, and I'm going to be really enjoying myself by the time I get to Threshold and cap that baby off, and I'm going to love it. Yes, capped my marathon off with Threshold, too, because, yes, it is a Tom Paris episode. Yes, there is some sort of weird semblance of growth for him there about him maybe owning up to him wanting to fulfill a destiny as the first person to fly Warp 10. That's what it is. There's the moral. I pulled it out. I got it.
However, whole Chuck Yeager Armstrong thing.
Yeah. So there is that. And then, of course, there's all the weird, awful science and the nonsense. And you just have to sit back and enjoy the effects and the tongue being pulled out, all the makeup. And I figure if I'm a little happily buzzed by this point, so much the better. Robert Duncan McNeil said at Star Trek Las Vegas last year, if you're under the influence of some sort of substance when you're watching Threshold, you're going to enjoy it a lot more, or something to that effect. That's not a direct quote. I'm paraphrasing. And so I have yet to test out this theory, and I figure I might do that if and when I do this marathon, just to see how right he is.
Yeah, I will not be doing that portion, but
yeah,
I will be enjoying Threshold for the same reasons that you do, because it's just, it's ridiculous, it's fun. I think it gets a bad rap. We have had much more absurd episodes in the pantheon of Star Trek than Threshold. I think people forget that. I think it's become popular opinion to use Threshold as this pillar of ridiculousness because It's in our Star Trek zeitgeist. It's just like, oh, what's the worst episode ever? Well, it's got to be Sub Rosa or Threshold.
Right, or Spock's brain. It's like or on Spock's that level brain. Where it's infamous.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing, though. Here is why you can enjoy Threshold. Other episodes are just as poorly written, and they take themselves seriously. Don't take Threshold seriously. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it so much more. You're going to laugh it off, and you're going to say, okay, that happened. And you're going to move on with your life.
You're like, I guess we're doing this tonight. Yeah.
There's far more episodes that do take themselves seriously that I just think, how did this get on the air? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the same thing about Threshold, and yet I can just let it go with Threshold for some reason. I just can't. Just like with Spock's brain, Sub Rosa, I'm a little on the fence about.
I think Threshold is much more entertaining than Sub Rosa. Like, Sub Rosa is just a bad episode. But then
Entertainment value is high for all the ridiculousness. Just like Spock's brain. I mean, how incredibly out there and stupid is that idea? But if you just watch it and enjoy it for what it is, it's okay. You're having a good time. Yeah. You're entertained at the very least. So there's that. You wouldn't want it every week, but it's basically like eating cotton candy when you normally have a steak and potatoes.
Exactly.
So, all right, well, we're capping off with Threshold. I love it. Dang, we are sharing a brain, Tristan. We've been doing this too long.
Yes, we have been doing this too long with each other. But actually, you know what? No, we haven't, because I plan on podcasting with you for years to come in the future.
Oh, totally. There will always be some sort of weird thing we're doing every week, no matter what it is.
All right, well, that's our episode, folks. I think this is a good list. I mean, just to review, my list is Caretaker, Parturition, Bride of Chaotica, 30 Days, and Threshold.
All right, and mine is 30 Days, Prophecy, Future's End Part 1, Bride of Chaotica, and Threshold. Now, do you have any alternates you wanted to throw out there that you considered but ultimately did not put on your list? No?
Not really. I think Future's End was probably the only one.
Okay, I want to throw a couple others out there just because I'm not going to go into detail. I'm just going to list them. But others that I considered: Basics Part 2, The Shoot, Blood Fever, and Demon.
All good choices. Very good choice. Demon. Yes. Demon.
Demon.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, even though it's not really Paris.
Right. You know, yeah.
I think that's a solid choice.
Sort of like Course Oblivion, where it's not really Tom getting married.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Wow.
I thought about that too, but I didn't write that one down. So yeah, I considered all of those, but they didn't really fit into the paradigm of I'm watching a marathon and I just want to have a good time. So there. All right, well, guess what? Tom Paris isn't the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at what else is going on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
We've been waiting so long to cover material and it's still not covered yet, and now we might go to the complete other extreme and let's just jet through it all as fast as we can.
Damn you, Brian Fuller, you've given us too much Star Trek too fast.
The Orb.
You put your action figures on the table or whatever in your house, they don't move. You know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've got one of Picard right over there, and when he doesn't do what I want, I put him in the box. And I put it in the cabinet.
Straighten your shirt, Picard.
Meta Trex.
Well, I mean, if you're just talking sheer cool, I don't think there's any argument that Worf and Jadzia's wedding was just absolutely cool. There was a dramatic element to it. It wasn't just a ceremony.
Performative bloodletting. Yeah. That's how Klingon weddings go.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We are available on basically any platform that you can possibly imagine. And none of it is possible without the help of our fantastic patrons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm. Consider becoming a monthly subscriber. It helps us out tremendously because we are a listener-supported network. All of our funds come from listeners who appreciate what we do. And so if you have not considered doing this yourself, please do so if you want to keep the Trek Talk coming to you every single day of the week. Now, on TTJ, we have several associate producers that we need to thank. And so those lovely people are Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, Bruce Lish, Dante Hopkins, Brian Belisio, and Kay Janeway. Thank you all so much for supporting TTJ. We love you for it. So, Tristan, We are back, and we're going to be as back on track as we possibly can. And next week, we have another wonderful episode coming up. What are we going to do?
Well, you know, here's the thing, is that we asked the question a couple of weeks ago, what people like. Do you like it if it's a surprise, or do you like to prepare just in case? And it was kind of split down the middle, maybe a little bit more towards preparation. So I think we're going to flip-flop. We're going to continue what we're going to do. And this week, we're not going to tell you, so it's going to be a surprise. But you'll have to tune in next week to find out. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!